Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans 6:14. Romans 6:14 and Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Now I'm going to do my best not to get excited early and, you know, go all over the place. So I need to stay calm. I am excited about this, and I need to stay calm. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to deal with the question, what does it mean to be free from the law? What does it mean to be free from the law? Now, I'm going to answer that question at the very beginning of the sermon and then spend the rest of the time kind of backing up and then show you how I arrived at that point. What does it mean to be free from the law? Because, you know, we say, well, you're free from the law. We tell people that they're free from the law. In fact, look at Romans chapter 6, 14. And verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What does it mean to not be under the law? I mean, think with me for a moment. Does it mean that we disregard the Ten Commandments? Does it mean that since we're not under the law, we can go kill, we can go steal, we can go commit adultery since we're not under the law? Is that what it means? Well, you know by the Spirit of God in you that that couldn't be right. But here it says you're not under the law, but under grace. Well, what does it mean to not be under the law? What does it mean to be under grace? And then look at Romans chapter 4, chapter 10 and verse 4. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So what am I supposed to think when I read a scripture that says, you know, now that Jesus has come, the law has ended? And we know that the Ten Commandments is a part of the Mosaic Law. I'll show you later on that the Mosaic Law consists of moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, ceremonial law, and civil law. But, you know, does it mean that we're supposed to just not fulfill any of the Ten Commandments? So I want to answer that right away. What does it mean to be free from the law? Here's what it means to be free from the law. It means that I am no longer under the process of trying to keep a bunch of rules to be able to have morality or good behavior. It means that I am free from failing to keep all of the rules in order to keep the law. So do we keep the Ten Commandments? Yes and no. We are obligated to fulfill the Ten Commandments, but not to do it through rule keeping. We are obligated to fulfill the Ten Commandments, but we do it through the Holy Spirit. We are obligated to fulfill the Ten Commandments, but we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to administer the morality of the Ten Commandments through our lives versus allowing rule keeping and self-effort to be the administrator of morality in our lives. You see, the Ten Commandments, those 10 commandments, those were the moral law of God. And the moral law of God was not, it was very difficult to achieve the moral law of God in a person's life through rule keeping. So there are 613 laws in the Mosaic Law. There are 10 commandments and 603 rules you have to keep in order to see the 10 commandments manifest in your behavior and in your life. And the problem is that they couldn't keep all 603 of the rules in order to see the 10 commandments or the morality of the 10 commandments birth through their life. We're free from that. We're free from having to keep all of these laws in order to try to produce morality in our lives. We're free from the condemnation of trying to keep all of these rules in order to get the Ten Commandments or the Ten Moral Laws to manifest in our life. We're free from the condemnation, free from the failure, free from rule keeping to try to obtain morality in our lives. We're free from that. We are now under the administration of the Holy Spirit, and the administration of the Holy Spirit, He is now, glory to God, through grace, going to manifest the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the morality of the Ten Commandments. The Holy Spirit is going to be working in us to manifest that through our life, through our behavior. So, are we obligated? Are we going to see the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments in our lives as New Testament Christians? Yes. How? Through the administration of the Holy Ghost through grace. Did they see morality in their lives by trying to keep all the rules to make it happen? No, they didn't. We are free from the law or from trying to manifest moral law through rule keeping without the Holy Ghost. We are now delivered unto the administration of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, who will now change our hearts and produce morality of the Ten Commandments in our lives. I hope you got that. Does that make sense? Did you get it? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to back up, because there were months ago I wrote this in a little book trying to figure out why God wanted me to write it down. And here's what I wrote. Being free from the law of Moses does not mean that you are without morals. It means that instead of trying to achieve morality through the law or rule keeping, you will now achieve morality by the administration of the Holy Spirit through grace, who changes you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is the agent that changes bad behavior and gives you the desire to do what pleases God. And so in the Old Testament, we were trying to change behavior through our own efforts. We were trying to modify our behavior and character through rule keeping and our own effort. And we were trying to do this through the Holy Ghost. And God was trying to show you, no, that can't be done. But what happens now, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is the agent that changes bad behavior and gives you the desire to do what pleases God. In fact, look at Philippians chapter 2:13 in the NLT. Philippians chapter 2:13. See, you cannot modify your behavior without the Holy Spirit. You're a fallen man. But remember the Ten Commandments are perfect. They are flawless, but they were given to people who were fallen beings. And so you're trying to keep something that's perfect and you're not perfect. And the only way you're ever going to do that is you're going to have to, the Holy Spirit, you're going to need help. And the Holy Spirit was sent to be your help. Look what he says in Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, doing what? Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So the Holy Spirit works in us to give us the desire. See, if you're going to produce morality in your life, and if you're going to produce good character, and if you're going to produce holiness in your life, you can't do that without the Holy Ghost. You need help. You read all through the Old Testament of people trying their best to achieve that, and they failed, and they were condemned, and they were guilty over and over and over again. Because God says, I'm going to give you something perfect with your imperfect self to prove to you that your imperfect self won't be able to keep this, that which is perfect. But I have a plan on sending you some help. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to get on the inside of you, and he's going to change your desire and give you the ability to do what pleases God without rule keeping. And you'll find yourself producing morality by the Holy Spirit instead of producing morality by your self effort, trying to keep the rules to try to make it happen. Wow. Now, that's the answer. That's the answer that I gave you in maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Now, I want to back up. You've seen those movies, and the movie starts with this big action and all of these things happen. And then it says, you know, 20 days before this. All right. So I'm backing up, and we're going to walk through this whole process to show you how I arrived at that point. You know, some of us, since we've heard of grace, we We believe the scriptures that says we're no longer under law, but we're under grace, but we didn't quite know how to explain it. And you can't throw that away because it's in the Bible, and yet it's proof of it in the Bible. But how do you explain that to somebody? How do you explain that you're not obligated to fulfill the moral law of God? And I'm going to show you today how even the Apostle Paul would repeat what was in the Ten Commandments because it was the moral law of God. You know what the moral law of God was? It was God's nature and God's character. And it was eternal. And it did not just go away, but it was who was administrating. So what's the difference? It's the administration under rule keeping versus the administration under the Holy Spirit. Administration through rule keeping failed. Nobody could ever achieve morality. Administration through the Holy Spirit was successful because he worked on the inside of you, giving you a desire to do what's right. Amen? Now, I'm going to repeat myself in different ways, in different perspectives. My objective this morning is to drive this in and to show you how this is going to change your life forever. Well, let's start off with the obvious. Let's look at the history of the Mosaic Law. St. John chapter 1 and verse 17, the history of the Mosaic Law. Well, why is it called the Mosaic Law? Because it came from Moses. John chapter 1 and 17 says, for the law was given by Moses. The law was given by Moses. So this was referring to the laws that it showed up in Exodus 20 when God gave the law to Israel. And then Moses wrote four books that were considered the book of the laws. It started in Exodus to Deuteronomy. Somebody said, what about Genesis? Genesis, the law did not appear in Genesis. Genesis, although written by Moses, did not talk about the law. It talked about the generation and the generation of consciousness is what Genesis was about. So the law was given by Moses. It included the books of the laws of Moses from Exodus to Deuteronomy. Genesis was written by Moses, but was not a part of the law that was given by God to Moses, to Israel. Now, God gave the Mosaic Law to Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. You see that in Exodus chapter 20. You actually see it happening. The Mosaic Law was divided into three parts, or made up of three parts. The Mosaic Law was moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, ceremonial law, which was all of the stuff you had to do to bring an offering to the priest in order to get your sins covered, and then the civil law, which talked about the do's and don'ts of everyday living. This was the Mosaic Law divided up in three parts that was used by Jewish people to govern their daily lives. Now, the Ten Commandments, it's important. I wrote this down. I thought it was important to go through. The Ten Commandments was a part of the Mosaic Law. The Ten Commandments were also referred to as Decalogue, Decalogue. And so it's also referred to as moral law. But Jewish people are not going to divide the Mosaic Law up into moral, ceremonial, or civil. They consider the whole thing the Mosaic Law. But it's important for us to look at this. And so the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue are essential because they are part of the 613 laws. Now, let's break it up and show you what this is like. The first four commandments in the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments, the first four dealt with the relationship with God. The first four dealt with the relationship of God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So the first four, they deal with our relationship with God. Now, the last six deal with our relationship with one another. That's interesting. Our relationship with one another. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet. So it's important to know this is God's moral law. And certainly when you talk about being free from the law, he's not saying, you know what? Forget about the law. Dishonor your father and your mother. Go ahead and kill somebody. Commit adultery all day long. steal and be a false witness all day. You know that's not. So right here, this is what the Mosaic Law was trying to achieve. How can we get Jewish people to produce morality throughout their life? Aha! We'll take 603 rules and tell them if you keep the rules, then you'll achieve the Ten Commandments. You'll achieve your successful relationship with God. You will achieve successful relationships with one another. If you understand that, say amen. And so the Ten Commandments express God's moral law. But moral law existed long before Moses encounter that he had with God on Mount Sinai. Moral law reflects the nature of God. It reflects the character of God, and it is eternal. So God put moral law, or he put morality. What is morality? It's the character, the behavior, and the conduct. God put the character, the behavior, the conduct, moral law within the Mosaic Law. So God took moral law and says, let me stick this and make it a part of the Mosaic Law. And they're going to now try to use self-effort to try to achieve it because they think they can do this without me. And so they're going to have 603 laws. Don't work on Sundays. Don't pick up stick on Sundays. Don't do this. A lot of people died because they could not keep the moral law. The objective was this. They could not keep the 603 rules and regulations to try to get moral law. They were trying to achieve morality, but they were trying to do it through their own self-effort and power. Now, before the Mosaic Law, morality was written in a person's heart. Now think about this now. Before the Mosaic Law showed up, God put morality on the inside of a person. Well, when did he do it? Look at Genesis 2:17 and then Genesis 3:4-5 and then verse 7. And while you're turning there, you know, by the way, you remember Joseph, who was the servant to Potiphar? You remember Potiphar's wife? Let me bring it up. Potiphar's wife started hitting on Joseph and trying to get sweet with him. You know what I'm saying? And Joseph knew. He says, I cannot do this sin against my master. How did Joseph know that was wrong? There was no Ten Commandments. There was no Mosaic Law to tell him that was wrong. Why? How did he know it? It was in his heart. He knew it. It was written in his conscience. He just knew that was wrong. He knew that was the wrong thing to do, and he ran away from her without any rules or regulations that says it's wrong to have sex with another man's wife. He had that in his heart. It was there. Morality was on the inside of people before the Mosaic Law was ever given. Well, when did God put morality on the inside of people? Well, look at Genesis chapter 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the tree was a tree of morality, to be honest with you. It was a tree so that you would know what was good and what was evil. All right. Up until this time, Adam and Eve were just fellowshipping with God. And they didn't need to know good and evil. Their total focus was God. Their total trust was God. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't eat of it. He said, thou shalt not eat of it. Why? The day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die. That relationship and that life that man had with God and could only see God and only focus, that would separate, that would be over with, because now you know the difference between good and evil. Now you've got that conscious, that morality conscious on the inside of you. And watch what he said. Look at the Genesis chapter 3, after they ate of it, verse 4, 5, and 7. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So he's contradicted. You're not going to die. And look what verse 5 says. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods. Watch this. Knowing the difference between good and evil. There was no Mosaic Law. When they ate of the fruit of the tree on the inside, they knew the difference between what was good and what was wrong without any rules. All right. Look at verse 7. He says, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees. leaves together and they made themselves able. So what happened? Their eyes was open and they knew there was something wrong with being naked. Before they walking around the garden, butt naked. Ain't nobody got no problem with nothing. Because they didn't need morality on the inside. They had God. They were totally focused on God. Now, I wonder what would happen today in this period of grace if we can get back totally focused on God. Well, we just look at God, but our attention is so divided up and it's so crazy in the world. You know the difference between good and evil. You don't need nobody to write it down. It's already in your heart. Sometimes people use rules to try to justify or, you know, like a lawyer, try to find a little crack in there where they can get away with something instead of just being focused on God. Like somebody came to me one time and they said, well, you know, Pastor Dollar, is it wrong? Is it wrong to drink liquor? You know, your conscience will tell you, first of all, the issue is it wrong to drink liquor? The issue is, am I giving drinking more attention than I am God? Have I become a slave to this bottle and it's taken me away from God and I've committed idolatry and I've replaced what pleases me with what I need to be doing to please God? That's the issue. It's not if smoking reefer is wrong. Have you become a slave to smoking weed? I don't care if it's legal or not. He doesn't want you to be enslaved to anything, because when you allow your life to be enslaved in any area, you've replaced him with that area. Oh, y'all, you hear what I'm saying? Let me get back to what we're dealing with here. Now look at Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Romans 2, 14, 15. Before the Mosaic law, morality was written on the heart. So it was written inside. It was the law of God. It was written inside, man. When love was the operator. And notice what happens here. He says, for when the Gentiles, watch this carefully, which have not the Mosaic law, that's what he's referring to. When the Gentiles, which have not the Mosaic law, the Gentiles did not have the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was given only to Jewish people. For when the Gentiles, which have not the Mosaic law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Ah, what's contained in the Mosaic law? Morality. And he said, isn't it amazing that Gentiles that don't have the Mosaic law still do by nature morality or the moral law? The moral law, he says, do by nature the things contained in the law. Moral law, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, was contained in the Mosaic law. And he said, Gentiles, without it being in writing, knew on the inside what was moral, what was right, and what was wrong. These having not the Mosaic law, they said they're a law unto themselves because of what they have written on the inside of them. What does it do in a man's conscience when he does the four things and he fails all the time? What does it do? He's trying to achieve morality, but he keeps falling. What does it do? It makes him sin conscious. It condemns him. It makes him feel guilty. It messes him up on the inside. It destroys him. Jesus came and says, I'm going to set you free from failure, from condemnation, from guilt, and I'm going to set you free from the penalty of not being able to do it. And I'm going to give you now help so you will be able to achieve and accomplish what you could not achieve or accomplish under the Mosaic law. Well, I guess the next best place to go, if you're trying to figure this out, is, so what did Paul teach concerning the law? Four things, real quick. Four things Paul taught concerning the law. So here's Paul, who's been given by Jesus Christ this mission to preach the gospel of grace and to tell the world that they are no longer under the law of trying to become moral through rule keeping. And here's what he taught. Number one, he taught recipients of the Mosaic law. In other words, who was to receive the Mosaic law? Now, this is important. This is important. God gave the Mosaic law to Israel alone. Alone. Israel alone. Not to American Baptist people and African Pentecostal people. He gave it to Israel alone. Let me give you this. Look at Romans 9:4 in the NLT. and then Romans 3:19. Romans 9:4. I have to show you this so you'll know I'm coming from the scripture. Romans 9:4 in the New Living Translation. He says, they are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them, gave them his law. Gave them his law, gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. So he gave them those privileges. Well, God wanted the Gentiles to have privileges like that, but, you know, he don't want anybody else getting involved in trying to keep the law. He's trying to use Israel to show the rest of the world that you cannot produce this type of morality of the Ten Commandments through self-effort and through rule-keeping, and made everybody now has an opportunity to come to Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, he can get into everybody's heart and begin to give you the desires to choose and to please him. Look at Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. All right, now watch this. He says here, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Well, I just showed you who's under the law. Jewish people. So whatever the law says, he's saying to Jewish people. So if the law says you can't pick up sticks, and the law says, you know, that if you have a mole on your face, you can't be called to the priesthood. If the law says all of those kind of things, he says, I'm talking to Jewish people who are under the law. I'm not talking to you. I'm not saying this to you. He says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. He's trying to say, what I'm doing with Jewish people, I'm doing it to show you that what they did and the way they tried to achieve morality didn't work. And I want everybody to know that if you try to go the same way they did, you're going to find guilt and condemnation and all of that stuff that I have delivered you from. Now, here's the thing that got me. You mean to tell me that we are going to ignore the work of Jesus and go back to the very thing he delivered us out of? And that's why this is so important, is that we got to get this straight. We got to get it right. All right, here's the second thing Paul taught. So first of all, he taught who would receive the law. The second thing he taught, this is important, he taught the nature of the law. Paul taught the nature of the law in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, 14, and 16. Look at that. Paul taught the nature of the law, and here's what he said about it. He said the law was good. Well, what, you know, you see how you got a right to discern? What is he talking about? What part was good? It was the nature and character of God that was good. It was the morality. It was the Ten Commandments that were good. The law was good. It wasn't the method by which they were trying to achieve morality or the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue. He was saying that was good. That law that came by Moses, he said that was good. But when they added all that other, he said that was good. Notice what he said in verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. Seriously? So you're going to take something that's good and just and holy and say something's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. It's holy. It's perfect. It's good. It's just. The problem was how they were trying to administrate what was good and holy and just. That was the problem. Look what he said in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. He says, but I'm carnal. He says the law is spiritual. The Ten Commandments, spiritual. He says, but spiritual things going to a carnal man won't make sense. Spiritual things won't. It's hard for a carnal man to do something that's spiritual. The New Testament says that when you try to do something, get something spiritual to a carnal man, he says it's foolishness unto him. Okay? So he says the law is spiritual. Are you kidding me? Those Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, all of that is spiritual. It is perfect. It is good. What was the problem? We were carnal trying to keep something that was perfect. And our carnal method was, if we can do all these 603 rules, we'll be able to keep those 10. No. Look at the third thing Paul taught. What was the purpose of the law? Now, this is mind-boggling. The purpose of the law. What was the purpose of the law? Why was it so perfect? Why was it so good? The law revealed and condemned sin. Romans 3:19 through 20. The law revealed and condemned sin. Somebody says, what? How could something perfect good reveal and condemn sin. No, no, no. Remember, it was how they tried to administrate the Ten Commandments that revealed sin. It was somebody thinking that through their own self-effort and ability to try to keep the rules, that they would be able to produce this morality. And the only thing they produced, as they tried to keep their rules, it just brought about more sin. They found that they couldn't do it. It caused you to sin the more. You, through your own efforts, without the help of the Holy Spirit, you trying to be like God without God. That's where we are today. Everybody think that they can do it and you can achieve it. And you go get, you know, your life coach and you set up your disciplines and you think all of these things without the Holy Ghost is going to get it. He said, no, it revealed sin. Look at Romans 3. Verse 19, 20, he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, Jewish people, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the law is the knowledge of sin. See, he says that no flesh is going to be justified. No flesh is going to be justified by the deeds of the law. So you trying to, through the deeds of the law, keeping all the rules in order to get justification, he says it's not going to work. He said there's so many people. The Jewish people did everything they can. They kept all the laws. They kept the law of the Sabbath. They did all that stuff, and they still ended up not being justified in his sight. That's why he had to give them the sacrificial offering system, because the only way he could bless them is that they bring a sacrificial offering and he could cover their sin until the next year. And so they were sin conscious all year long. And he says, so for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you're reading, here is the Mosaic law, the moral law, and you're reading all these other laws telling you, if you don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, and if you do this, this will happen, and don't do that, and you'll be cursed if you do that, and if you do that, you're going to die, and if you do that, and you do that, and do that, you're just walking around sin conscious. You never produce a morality because you're so freaked out over, oh my God, I'm going to hell because I did that. And oh Jesus, I didn't do that. And it came all the way up to where we are today. Oh Lord, God gonna get me because I ain't pray an hour. Oh my God, I hadn't ministered to nobody. Oh Jesus, I didn't love like I was supposed to love. Oh God, am I ever gonna go to heaven? That's where it all came from. Number four. Well, let's look at more scripture here. This is important. Romans 4:15. Romans 4:15, I need to show you two more because this is important. The law revealed and condemned sin. Romans 4:15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Where no law is, there is no transgression. So does that mean throw away the Ten Commandments? Because where no Ten Commandments are, there is no transgressions? No. He says throw away your self effort of rule keeping, trying to get the Ten Commandments to manifest in your life, throw that away because where the law worketh, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is. So if you get rid of the rule keeping part of this, there won't be any transgression. If you'll get rid of trying to achieve morality through self effort and rule keeping, there is no transgression. He didn't say, if you get rid of the Ten Commandments and if you get rid of morality, then there'll be no more transgression. Are you kidding me? But see, if we haven't rightly divided this and get it where it needs to be, that's what people have thought. And that's why every time they hear somebody teach on grace, it's always this challenge. Wait a minute now, because we hadn't made this plain and rightly divided it. Romans 5:13. Romans 5:13. I hope you're getting this. But if not, I'll give you the information so you can listen to it over and over again. He says, for until the law, this is interesting, sin was in the world. Until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not charged to you when there is no law. Wow. See, if there's no law, if there's no speed limit in Germany, I can go as fast as I want to. I didn't sin. I didn't do nothing wrong. But if I put a law up, then I'm going to sin. When alcohol prohibition was out there, and they thought they would stop people from using alcohol, what happened? They sinned the more. When, you know, in the time even where weed was out there, and there were good uses for it, but they just, you know, say you can't have none of it at all, then all kinds of stuff happened. I'm telling you, there's something to understand here. But for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not charged to you when there is no law. Look at what else Jesus did. I am putting you under a new system so sin won't be charged to you. What are you talking about? Well, I'm asking you to believe, and the Holy Ghost is going to start working with you like that 2-year-old kid, and he's going to show you how to walk in this thing. He's going to change your heart. He's going to do things on the inside of you, and it's going to be produced the way it needs to be produced. Versus you saying, I got to do these 20 things in order for this to happen, and oh my God, if I don't do these 20 things, then I've sinned, and I'm no good, and I'm just condemned, and I'm guilty. Jesus says, I take that away from you, and I will not charge it to your account, because now I am your helper. And I have taken everything upon myself. Jesus has put everything upon himself so you can finally worship God. So you can finally worship God. So you're no longer trying to keep the law of rule keeping to try to be moral. Instead, you are trusting in the Holy Spirit who will come and work in you and produce morality through your life. Yes, that's what he's talking about. Look at one more and we'll go to the next one. Romans 7:7. Romans 7:7. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? He said, no. He says, no, it's not. But the way we've been teaching it all of these years, or the fact some certain things we didn't say, people would think, well, something must be wrong with the Ten Commandments. It must be sin. It's not. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Okay, so what he's saying is, I didn't know it was sin until I had all these rules to keep in order to try to get morality. I had no idea it was sin until they gave me 603 rules and told me I can't pick up sticks on Sunday and told me I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't be called into the priesthood if they've got any flaws on me physically. I can't have no deformities. I flipped out when they said you can't even have no moles on your face. That would disqualify me for the ministry. He says, nay, I had known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, watch this, thou shalt not covet. Well, thou shalt not covet, or something must be wrong with that, because I got 603 telling me all these things are wrong, trying to produce thou shalt not covet. And the Holy Spirit says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work on the inside of you, and I am going to change your heart so you're not going to want to covet. You're not gonna wanna, and the only thing I need from you, instead of you trying to keep 603 laws, is I need faith, trust, and confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit. I need somebody to commune with me, get to know me. I have taken care of all that stuff if you'll just allow me to change you from the inside. Number four, here's the fourth thing Paul taught. He taught the effects of the law. The effects of the law. The law incites and encourages sin. The law incites and encourages sin. Three scriptures real quick. Romans 5:20 in the NLT. The law incites and encourages sin. So with all of the things I got to do to try to do the Ten Commandments, all of that now becomes this, all of it together, even the Ten Commandments there, it's so condemning because I can't do it. I can't keep it. I keep falling and failing when I look at, you know, the goal of what I'm trying to achieve. I end up coveting. Because I'm doing this. And by the time I get to the moral law, I feel bad because I'm like, oh, God, I missed the mark again. You know, that's what inferiority is about. Inferiority is about missing the mark. And if people in the church today don't rightly divide what I'm teaching, we got a bunch of inferior people coming to church because they feel like, you know, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have missed the mark. All right, look at this, Romans 5:20 in the NLT. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. Bam. God gave you the law, and then they chose to try to accomplish it through their own self-effort and all that stuff. He says, no, I gave you the law, which is perfect, flawless, and now you're trying to achieve it through your own self-effort. I gave you something flawless and perfect so you can see how sinful you are. I see what he's doing now. Yeah, it's perfect. It's holy. It's flawless. But you can't do this without me. The whole purpose of what God did was to get everybody to see I need help. To get everybody to see I have tried everything and I still can't do this. To get everybody to see I need a savior. I can't do this. Why? Because every time I try, I end up missing the mark. That's what sin is. Every time I do these, I end up missing the mark. I miss the mark of the Ten Commandments. I miss the mark of not having no gods before me. I miss the mark of idolatry. I miss the mark of murder. And look at, you had Paul who murdered. You had Moses who murdered. You had David who murdered. Everybody's trying to do all this stuff without God. He says, I gave it to you so I can show you how sinful you are. But as people sinned more and more, he said, God's wonderful grace became more and more abundant. The answer to the sin is grace. Grace is not the license to sin. Grace is the answer to the sin. Glory to God. Romans 7, 5, and then 8 through 9. Romans 7, 5, 8 through 9. I got to teach this way because after I finish today, I'm hoping that you will go and look at the scriptures and pray over it and allow God to speak to you. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, you will find out that when you were under the law, you were in the flesh. When you were under the law, you'll find out that being in the flesh is being subject to the law. For watch this. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, in the flesh, by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Verse 8, 9. But sin, taking occasion by commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Watch this. Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Again, if you're not careful, you will think, throw away the Ten Commandments. Throw away the moral law. No, he's talking about throwing away the administrator or the administration of the moral law, which made it like that. It wasn't the moral law that was wrong. It was the method in which they were trying to achieve morality. That was the problem. That revived sin. Moral law was perfect. The way you were trying to achieve it was not. And that was the sin that brought about guilt and condemnation and all those other things. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:56. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So are you telling me that the Ten Commandments is what causes you to sin? You know that ain't right. Thou shalt not murder. Is that causing you to sin? No. Thou shalt not steal. Is that causing you to sin? No. What's causing you to sin? What's causing you to sin is the method. I'm going to try to administrate morality through the rules to do it. And he says, every time I try to keep the rule to try to accomplish the objective, it strengthens sin. Just like alcohol prohibition. Every time I tried to stop people from drinking liquor and making liquor, the more stills came up in the hood. And they made more. You don't understand. When you try to get people, as a pastor, if I get up every Sunday and say, don't do this, don't do that, don't. You know what's going to happen? They're going to do exactly what you've been talking about. Don't. If there's a pink elephant outside, and I tell you to walk outside your house, go outside on the left-hand side, there's a pink elephant, but don't you look at it. What percentage of people that walk outside the house will absolutely turn and look at it? See, it's the method in which, and what God is saying is, I got something better. I need you to go back to the garden. Trust me. See me. Focus on me. And God comes in, and he does something so miraculous on the inside of you, and you're trying to stop cussing. I remember, man, as a teenager, I said, I'm going to stop cussing. And the more I said I stopped cussing, I cussed the more. I started inventing cussing words, using compound cussing words, because I'm just like, you know, oh, my God, how are you going to stop doing this? But now there's a new and a perfect way through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, through his finished works, that I trust him, and I say, God, I can't do this without you. And he comes in and he does something so amazing. He gives me the desire to not steal, to not kill. He gives me the desire to not covet. And from the inside out, I'm achieving the character and the nature of God without any of the works of the flesh or the law. But it's my trust and my communion and my faith in the Holy Spirit, which is showing me how to walk. And sometimes I can't even explain it. Sometimes I can't even explain why I don't want what I used to want. Why I don't do what I used to do. I can't explain why I treat my wife this way versus what I treated before. How did I get out the circle and how did all that happen? And it was a simple decision to say, God, I trust you. God, I need you. I need your help. I need you, Lord. I done tried all of this. I done fasted for 5 days, hungry, about to fall out. I done prayed for 2-3 hours, cotton mouth like I've been smoking weed all day. I done did all of everything I know to do. And I somehow still end up in that same place of failure. And then when I got a hold of the gospel of grace, something changed. Something changed on the inside. And I know it wasn't my effort. I know it wasn't everything I did. I know it wasn't my 5 days of fasting. I know it wasn't my 3 days of conference. I know it was him on the inside. And I find myself talking to him and he talking back to me. There is no relationship without communication. Whew. A lot of people say they have a relationship with God. There's no relationship without communication. And the more and more. That's the same thing in your marriage. You ain't got no relationship in your marriage if not communication. There's no relationship without communication. And my communication turned into communion. And instead of me planning out how I was going to win, I said to him, my Lord, help me win. Lord, help me. Help me win. Help me succeed. Show me how to walk. Show me how to talk. Show me how to love my wife. Show me how to walk in peace and love with my kids. Show me how to be the pastor you want me to be. Show me. And then when it happens, I had no choice but to give him praise because I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't me. And I can't brag about it because I know it wasn't me. And Ephesians talks about that. He says, you know, you're saved by grace. It's not of your own. He says, and you can't boast about it because you didn't have nothing to do with it. It was the grace and the favor and the love of God. But religion wants to take you back to the methods of trying to keep the law. So you can pat yourself on the back and say, I achieved the morality of the Decalogue and the Ten Commandments through what I was able to accomplish and not Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God, through his power to change your heart, his power to put a desire in you and to take away the old desire and give you a new desire that accompanies that new creation. And that new way of living. Whew. Why most Christians think the church is under the Mosaic law is hard for me to understand. Why most Christians today think that we are under the Mosaic law is hard for me to understand. Well, why is it hard for you to understand? Well, read this in Hebrews 7, 18 and 19 in the Amplified, Hebrews 7. 18 and 19. When I read this, it's hard for me to, I can't understand why most, if not the majority of Christian people, and that's what's wrong with our doctrine. If we don't rightly divide this stuff, not just on the law side, but also on the grace side, you can't give people this idea of under grace, you can go and just sin And now that I'm not under the law, I can commit adultery when the law talks about that. That's morality. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is the answer for sin. Grace is not compromising holiness. Grace is the strength that leads you to holiness. Here's why I can't understand why Christians do this. He says, so a previous physical regulation and command is canceled because of his weakness and ineffectiveness and usefulness. He's talking about the law. For the law never made anything perfect. Well, why does most of the church want to stay there? The law never made anything perfect. What is he talking about, the law? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments? Yes, in a way, he's talking about the process by which you're trying to achieve the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments never made anything perfect. But instead, a better hope is introduced through which we now come close to God. That hope in which we now come close to God. I don't understand it, but I know what my job is in these last days, and I'm gonna keep on doing it until Jesus comes. Christians are to fulfill the moral law. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Christians are to fulfill the moral law. Christians are to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Christians are to fulfill the Decalogue. Christians are to fulfill the moral law, but they should do it apart from the administration of the Mosaic law through rule keeping. Christians are not to be under the administration of the Mosaic law because we have a far better overseer, the Holy Spirit. Instead of operating under the Mosaic law, the believer operates under the administration of the Holy Spirit, who engenders love. So, will the Holy Spirit lead one to sin? No. Will love lead one to sin? No. Paul wrote, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He wrote that. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Look at that. Galatians 5 and 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. God's trying to convince us through this message of grace. We are not led by the law. And people want to be led by the law. And God said, no, that's not good. I'm delivering you. You're no longer under that system where you're being led by the law. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the law, you are not under the Spirit. Paul made it clear that Christians are under grace and not subject to the Mosaic law. He made that very clear. How did he make it clear? Well, number one, he says Christians are under grace and not the law. Romans 6, 14. What did he say? He said, I'm going to call these scriptures out. I'm tempted to just go through them, but you need to hear this. If I don't finish it all, we'll pick it up next week. Romans 6, 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law where sin has dominion, but you're under grace. You're not under the law and the process by which you're trying to achieve morality. You're under grace and the administration of the Holy Spirit to achieve morality. Look at Galatians 4, 4 through 5. This is the whole purpose for Jesus' coming. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. He says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Watch this. Why? To redeem them that were under the law. So notice, he came to deliver them that were under the law or the process of rule keeping to try to achieve moral law. To deliver you. Why? Why did he want to deliver you from that process under the law? That we might receive what? The adoptions of sons. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and 9. Philippians 3 and 9, Christians are under grace and not under that process of the law. Philippians 3 and 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. So my righteousness is not of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I am righteous because Jesus is righteous, and I believe it, and I say, Lord, I believe you, and as soon as I do that, I'm made righteous without any rule keeping or anything. It's my trust and faith in him. Look at Romans chapter 8 and 3. Romans chapter 8 and 3. God wants to deliver you from condemnation. He wants to deliver you from guilt. He wants to deliver you, not so you can go find new and inventive ways to sin, but so you can trust him to come in and do what you have not been able to do. And you know what we've done? When we find out that we're not able to do it, we accept it as who we are. That's what you do. Oh, I'm not able to do it, so and the world does that. The world says, that's just who you are. Go ahead and accept it. You can't do anything about it. You've tried. So go ahead and accept that as your identity. And you don't give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to come in to do what you can't do. And you get deceived because you think all your life that's who you are because that's how you're behaving. And your behavior is not the, should not be the defining point of your identity. Your identity is defined by God, and He can help you to walk in that identity. Amen. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the, He says, let me read that again. I'm excited. Slow down. For what the law could not do. So there were some things the law couldn't do. Why would you want to stay in that process? He says that there were some things the law couldn't do. It was weak, He said. He said God had to send His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. God sent His Son for sin. And He sent His Son to condemn sin in the flesh. Wow. Wow. Could you see that in the Amplified? Flip over that Amplified. Hebrews, Romans, excuse me. Go to Hebrews 8:13 in Amplified. Hebrews 8:13. Look at this. This is pretty convincing here, this one scripture here. But again, you got to see what I'm saying. He says, when God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, He makes the first one obsolete and out of use. So the agreement He had with Jewish people has been made obsolete and out of use. What agreement? The agreement of, through law keeping, through rule keeping, you can achieve morality. He says it's obsolete, it's out of use. And what is obsolete and out of use and annulled because of age is ripe for disappearing and to be dispensed with altogether. So Paul taught that Christians are under grace and not the law. Second thing Paul taught, he taught that Christians are saved apart from the law. Look at Romans 4, 13 and 14 through the in the NLT. Romans 4, 13 through 14 in the NLT. Christians are saved apart from the law. Apart from the law. So if Christians can be saved apart from the law, you follow what I'm saying? You don't need this process. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. The promise was based on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. There are churches that are so busy trying to keep the rules, they don't have a relationship with God. Don't wear makeup, don't wear pants, but no relationship with God. And you're not praying, you're not communicating with God, no relationship with God. You come, you shout, you scream, you act saved, you wear I'm a Christian on a t-shirt, but no relationship with God. He said, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary. All you got to do is obey the law and it happens. But they tried that and it didn't happen. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. Whew. Third one, Christians are sanctified by grace apart from the law. We're sanctified or set aside by grace without that process. Got to keep the rules in order to achieve the Ten Commandments and moral law. Look at Romans 2:19 through the NLT. Romans 2:19 through the NLT. Oh my goodness. Romans 2:19 through the NLT. I know it's a lot of scripture, but I got to teach this 100 times. I got to teach it 100 times. I got to break it down in all kinds of different ways. You got to see it. He says, you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. Romans 2:19, you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. You're not. You're not that. You think you are. You're convinced you are. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Are you kidding me? That's His job. You know what true freedom is? When you're free from something, true freedom is the ability and the power to do what is right. God didn't give you freedom from the law so you can do what is wrong. True freedom is the ability and the power of God to do what is right. Henceforth, the work of the Holy Spirit. True freedom is the ability and the power of God to do what's right. That's why He sets you free from the law. To give you the ability and the power of God to do what is right. Henceforth, the Holy Spirit. So why does Paul make reference to the Ten Commandments throughout his writings? We're probably going to have to wait till next week to do that. So Paul kept making reference to the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments talks about children obey, honor your mother and your father. You can't come on and say, well, God delivered us from that. No, Paul said it is still right for children to obey your parents in the, and honor your mother and your father. And he said there's a promise with that, that your days may be long. Oh, my goodness. There, Paul repeated all of the Ten Commandments except the one on the Sabbath. He didn't refer to the Sabbath as a day. He talked about the Sabbath as a person. Jesus is our Sabbath. But every place else, I'm going to show you in the New Testament where God, where Paul bought up every one of those 10, all those commandments, and he taught it under grace. And what he was saying is, now, children, it's still good to obey your parents. Let's trust the Holy Spirit to help you do that. Hey, it is still right to not commit fornication and adultery, but you need to praise God that you now have Him living on the inside of you. You need to thank God for that new and living way. So Paul was not repeating the systematic process of the law saying, do these things by rule keeping. Paul was saying all these things were right in the Ten Commandments. It was the character and the nature of God. And they're perfect and flawless and right. But now I'm going to show you a new and a living way. I'm going to show you a way to achieve morality through this grace that has been given to us and by the impartation of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be what He wants us to be. We'll pick up with that on next Sunday. My prayer is that there's such a hunger in you that this has just kind of blown your mind today. But clarity, you remember this is the year of clarity? Thank God He's given us clarity. And I'm going to remain a student of grace, and I'm going to dig and dig, and Taff and I are going to dig and dig until we just can see it, and God is going to help us and give us a way to articulate it and a way to say it and to show it, and that you can walk in a freedom that Jesus intended for you to walk in, that you can walk in a deliverance where you're not frustrated and you're ready to kill yourself and you're ready to just end it all. Or some people say, well, I tried that, but it didn't work. This is not, it's not about you trying to do something that didn't work. It's about developing a communion and a relationship with the Holy Spirit and letting Him come into you and taking away the old want-tos and give you a new want-to. And when you finally achieve that, you can lift your hands up and say, how great thou art. And you don't have to try to be a Christian. You don't have to try to be saved. It happens because of your faith and trust of the one that entered on the inside of you and poured the love of God on the inside of you. And there's certain things you won't do because of that love that the Holy Spirit poured on the inside of you and working in you. God's working in you. I will not ignore the work of Jesus Christ and just keep living according to a covenant that I've been delivered out of. According to a way that is not that is counted as obsolete and of no use. I'm not gonna disrespect the work of Jesus Christ. He died so that I can have this new and living way. And then I keep pumping self-effort, and I keep pumping, you know, what you can do to make this happen. And you just ignore what He did. I won't do that. God is good. And He wants to change your life. And what I've preached today is the gospel. And there may be many who, well, I just don't agree with it. Well, you just don't know enough. I'm telling you what I've been studying for 10 years and praying for clarity and more clarity and even more clarity than I'll teach it again and He'll have even more clarity of what I shared today. And I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Taffin, I love you, man, but it's time for you to get results. We're living in a crazy world, in a crazy time. It's time to get results. It's it's time to see the glory of the Lord in your house. And that's not going to happen until we learn how to rightly divide the Word of God so we can see the truth of God rightly. You know, abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. But do you know that you can shed innocent blood some other ways? That's interesting. It's not just limited to the abortion. It's also innocent blood that's shared with people who are on the outside of the womb as well as people on the inside of the womb. We need to talk about that. But that comes because we don't rightly divide the word of truth. And we get on one thing and put a rule to it. Whew, there's a lot we got to talk about that the Holy Spirit has got to help us with. It's not just racial division, but it's gender division. It's systematic racism and systematic situations that go against genders. Or also people who have issues. They can't walk. We got a lot to talk about. But all of it starts right here with rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our time. We thank you for our time. We pray, and I pray, that this word will rest in the hearts of people that heard it, and that the Holy Spirit will convict people and convince them, like, whoa, I got it. I got it that Christianity is not just walking around acting like a Christian and keeping the rules of a Christian, but it's a relationship. It's really getting to know him and him being intimate with me. I pray for every household, for every person, their lives be changed in Jesus' name. And if you're here with us at church today and you're not born again, and you've been trying to be a Christian without God, you've been trying to be like God without God, and you say, I want to get saved, well, let's pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, but right now I repent of all my sins. I make you my Lord and my personal Savior. Come into my life, save me, and by faith I declare that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And if you'll just type in, I'm saved, that's one word, to 51555. Just text that keyword, I'm saved, 51555. Provide your name and email address, and I want to send you a free ebook as a gift to you today. And welcome, welcome to the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.